Good morning. It's good to be back with you this morning. I got back from Chicago yesterday after having meetings with MEA Investment Committee, and before that I had been in Kansas and spoke at McPherson Church last Sunday. Sunday before that I was in Oklahoma City on a different trip. But now I think I'll be home for a few weeks and then head off to Guatemala and Mexico in November and December. But it's good to be here and to worship together with you this morning. What are you passionate about in your work? That was a question that a consultant working with our law practice group asked earlier this year in February at the beginning of a strategy session for business development in our law practice. And as others began writing their responses, I paused to reflect. As work had slowed earlier in the year, I grew restless. The consultant's question helped me understand my restlessness and provided an opportunity to reflect about what matters. I wrote a little bit about this for a leadership column for the upcoming issue of The Mennonite. And I wrote that opening and a little bit more and shared it with my mother in a draft form, inviting her comments. So she took it over to my father, who's in nursing care and sometimes is thinking more clearly than others. But it seems to be that whenever he hears or sees something I'm involved with, some lucid comment seems to come from him. And so when he read through this reflection on passion and finding a passion in your work, his comment was, you know, receiving a paycheck sure helps a person's passion for the job. And that's true. You can get a little bit carried away, I suppose, with the idea of passion. You know, for some, I suppose the passion might be sitting on the back deck with a glass of red wine. People could be really passionate about that, but there has to be some level of practicality, I suppose, in what we're talking about. But the resulting process after that consultant came and asked that question energized me. At least for me, there was something energizing about the journey of thinking about what might be next, not knowing exactly what is next, but confident that the pieces will fit together. Maybe for all of us, in the midst of our busy lives, it can be helpful to step back and reflect on whether your roles line up with your passions. When work had slowed down, I had that opportunity. And about that time, if you would have asked me, so what would be the ideal position if you could write your own job description, what would it be? Well, first of all, it would have to not require a move from our home. And yet, it would be ideally involve meaningful involvement in Latin America with Spanish and cross-cultural involvement. Incompatible, right? It would involve executive leadership and yet meaningful involvement at the grassroots level. Incompatible again, right? It would have an international cross-cultural focus, yet meaningful involvement with local church and local ministries. Incompatible again. Right? Taking a deliberate step into uncertainty ended up leading to options that I would have not otherwise been aware of, that I would have thought were incompatible. Because coinciding with my readiness for a change, the Board of Ecumenical Project for International Cooperation, or EPIC, strategized about a transition in executive leadership. Paul and Mary McKay had provided passionate leadership and welcomed realignment to a new role. And so in August, I became Associate Executive Director to evolve into the Executive Director role this coming year. The connections that weave a web leading to that role could not have been designed more intricately. You see, I knew Paul and Mary when I was a student at Bethel College. I took a class from Paul in International Development. And when Brenda and I decided to go with MCC to Haiti, he led a part of the cross-cultural seminar that we took at Bethel College, Paul leading the agriculture portion and Mary leading the health portion. When we got to Haiti, it turned out that we were working in a rural village that was funded and supported largely by an organization called World Neighbors. Well, it wasn't too much longer that Paul McKay was working in Guatemala with this same organization, World Neighbors. And out of that evolved his involvement with EPIC, the organization that I'm now going to be involved with. In Haiti, I learned how to make an A-frame, which was the foundation for doing agricultural terraces across the fields. In Guatemala now, World Neighbors and then later EPIC works primarily and largely with these A-frames. This web couldn't have been designed in a more intricate way. EPIC as an organization is involved with women and youth, with human rights, with peace, with health and nutrition, with regenerative organic agriculture, with indigenous culture, and with environmental protection. All things that I've been passionate about in my life and looked for ways to be involved with. In EPIC, we work primarily in Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, and Colombia, but with some involvement in a number of other countries. With EPIC, I'll be able to work from home, but have meaningful involvement with program partners in Latin America. And this also allowed the possibility of a part-time call with Merv Berkey and Charlene, who's here this morning, to the Mountain States Mennonite Conference ministry team that evolved into a team approach. Again, unexpected and really looked incompatible at first. The conference role complements my work with EPIC by providing the opportunity to nurture ministries in our local conference. Neither role nor this ideal combination could have coalesced without some space initially of uncertainty. Working with program partners in Latin America and partnering with ministries in our own region here in Colorado and in New Mexico. Speaking of passion, you may recall a number of years ago that our Mennonite conference was set up to encourage and enable what are called passion ministries. The idea was that our structure would not be set up with a lot, our conference would not be set up with a lot of structures, with a lot of committees, with a lot of programs, but to let the programs and ideas emerge from what people in the conference were passionate about. And so Casa de Paz, working with immigration, Raw Tools, working with turning weapons into tools, Tilt, working with environmental stewardship, are all programs of our conference that have emerged from people's passions. And so now I have the opportunity to help nurture those kinds of ministries in our conference. These passions, this involvement with both EPIC and with the Mountain States Mennonite Conference, have in common the idea of working with people in the margins. Working with people in the margins, I think, is significant in three ways. There's a practical component. You can talk about it in biological terms and also in theological terms. At the practical level, working with people in the margin allows a hands-on approach, walking the fields with farmers as they try to improve their livelihood and grow better crops, direct involvement with program partners in Latin America and also with ministries here in Colorado. Something our son Jordan said a couple of weeks ago struck me and I think relates to what I'm trying to describe about that grassroots involvement. Jordan has been a flight instructor now for about 7 years, and he's been continuing to be promoted in the flight school in Oregon where he works. At one point I said, "So are you going to keep getting promoted in the organization?" He said, "You know, the position I have now is really ideal, because I'm as high as I can go in the organization and still fly airplanes. One more level up and he would give up actually flying airplanes." Well, in a way, being involved in a small organization that works directly at the grassroots level, and yet providing a form of executive leadership for this organization, allows me to be in a position where I can still fly airplanes, still be involved at the grassroots level while providing executive leadership to EPIC. At a practical level, I'll be traveling a fair amount, but also working from home. The EPIC role is 3/4 time and the conference role 1/4 time. And you all know that I also set up a consulting business and hope to do that kind of around the edges as it fits. But another component of being, of working with people in the margins and of doing things in the margins, I think is illustrated well by an example that I witnessed when I was in Guatemala, visiting the Mujeres en Acción group in a rural village in Guatemala. They described how they have submitted a number of grant proposals to different organizations. And they get funding for this project, which has these limitations and these strings attached. And they get funding for this project, which has these limitations and these strings attached. And after all these projects had been put together and combined, what they lacked and what none of the projects would allow funding for was a projector in their office so they could show their project off to visitors. Somehow it didn't fit the requirements of these different organizations and their grant requests and their grant requirements. And so that's something that EPIC was able to do. They were able to provide that space in the margin where this organization needed this projector. Well, this morning this isn't intended to be an advertisement for EPIC, but I welcome the opportunity to tell you a little bit about EPIC. And combined with that, I've put a brochure in each of your mailboxes. I'd be glad to talk with you more. There's a great video that gives you a hands-on approach to what we're doing. I've started liking to use the phrase, do something EPIC today. Working with people in the margins is also significant in a second way. I've described before what I think is a biological component to the idea of working at that point of tension between different systems. It can be described that way through Scripture, where Scriptures talk about where two or three are gathered, there is God in their midst. But it can also be described in biological terms in the sense of an ecotone. You see, scientists have discovered that the place where there is the most biological diversity is where two different biological systems overlap. Somehow that tends to attract more life-giving energy. So that overlap of biological systems is where energy and life is at its most abundant. I think about that too in working with people in the margins, that that is a special place. It's a special place where there can be more energy, where there's a place where God is present in a special way. But there's also a theological component, and that's the basis of our scripture of the Beatitudes this morning. And I thought Bethany's call to worship this morning reflected that perfectly. For the Beatitudes reflect a space where Jesus comes and dwells with people in a way unlike any other. Matthew 25:40, the passage about the sheep and the goats, describes where the disciples were confused about where they had seen Jesus hungry or thirsty. And Jesus said, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Or as the Message paraphrase says, "Then those sheep are going to say, 'Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?' Then the king will say, 'I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me.'" Working with people in the margins is at the heart of our theology. It is an integral part of our Anabaptist theology. It is what so many of you do professionally, in your spare time, in your support of organizations, and in our own church activities like Second Chance Center and Family Promise. Betsy talked about Romans 12 in September, and that chapter laid out what she called a kind of job description for us in the Christian church. I think that the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 form another kind of job description for us. Todd Winward, in our conference in Taos working with the TILT program, likes to use the word rewilding. He likes to strip away the cultural and other kinds of components to something and make something wild again. He calls it rewilding, and he has a fascinating book about that in the context of environmental stewardship. Todd suggests that society is too connected to technology and suggests that Christians can use the Beatitudes to rewild our character. And so he offers a translation of Matthew 5 that I think reveals an interesting kind of rewilding. And so let me close with this paraphrase of the familiar scripture in Matthew 5. You've now heard Heidi say it in the children's story and Bethany in the reading of the scripture. And so you know the cadence, right? Blessed are the da-da-da-da-da-da. Blessed are the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You could do the cadence. Listen for that cadence and kind of recall those words as you hear it put to a different text. The words from Todd Windward paraphrasing Matthew 5. God's allies have no need for self-advancement. Living this way, they belong to God's ideal society. God's allies let themselves feel the pain of the world. Living this way, they will be sustained. God's allies do not grasp for more than their share. Living this way, they shall be entrusted with the wealth of the land. God's allies hunger and thirst for justice and right living. Their yearning will be satisfied. God's allies are merciful. Living this way, they will receive mercy. God's allies are passionately singular in heart. In their focus, they will see God. God's allies are makers and doers of peace. Living this way, they will be called children of God. God's allies get persecuted for seeking justice and right living. Living through this, they are partners in God's ideal society. May we seek those places in the margin to be partners in God's ideal society.
For our response hymn this morning, we're going to sing hymn number 395, Here I Am, Lord. And if you know the verses at the bottom, please do sing along with that. Let's stand as you're able.